All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're diving into something pretty important, really. I think particularly for those of you out there who are maybe thinking about a career in employment law, or really anyone who just wants to get a better grasp on, how the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, actually plays out, in the real world. The question we're really grappling with today is this: when do those I guess you could call them everyday workplace conflict, those interpersonal issues, especially those that might stem from, a medical condition. When do those actually cross the line and meet the legal definition of a disability under the ADA?
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. That is a huge question, and one where I think a lot of people have assumptions that maybe aren't quite accurate. So to really dig into this, we're going to be focusing on a really key case decided by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Weaving v. City of Hillsborough. This case, it really dug deep into this whole issue, and it's had a pretty big impact on, how courts interpret that substantially limits requirement of the ADA. Especially when we're talking about like the ability to work and interact with others, that's where this case really comes into play.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't just some abstract legal theory, right?
Right.
It's got real consequences for people. So whether you're, trying to figure out what your rights are, what an employer's obligations are, or just, navigating the complexities of how people get along at work, this case has a lot to teach us.
Absolutely. And it's a good one to really unpack step by step.
Exactly. So let's start by actually meeting the person at the heart of it all. This case is all about Matthew Weaving, who was a police officer with the City of Hillsborough Police Department, HPD, from 2006 to 2009. And one of the things that's really interesting here is that he actually had been diagnosed with ADHD as a child.
Right. And I think it's important to note that, for much of his adult life, Mr. Weaving believed he'd basically like grown out of those earlier ADHD symptoms. So it's not like this was, front and center throughout his career. The legal significance of that diagnosis really came later, like during his time at HPD.
Gotcha. So while he was at HPD, he starts having some, well, pretty serious problems with his coworkers, and the descriptions that come out are pretty stark. People described him as arrogant. Some even said he inspired fear. Coworkers said it was demeaning and intimidating. Doesn't sound like the best work environment.
No, definitely not. And it goes beyond just, a personality clash or people butting heads once in a while. This was serious stuff. In 2009, there's a formal grievance filed against him, which
Right.
leads to, a full-blown investigation by the police department. And the results of that investigation were not good. They found that, yes, Mr. Weaving had created a hostile work environment, and the language they used to describe his behavior is strong. I mean, we're talking tyrannical, unapproachable, non-communicative, belittling, demeaning, threatening, intimidating, arrogant, and vindictive. Like, wow.
Wow is right. That's quite a list. So during this whole investigation, Weaving is put on administrative leave, and it's during this time that he gets a more thorough evaluation and is actually officially diagnosed with adult ADHD. And of course, he informs HPD about this diagnosis.
Right, and here's where it gets really interesting. HPD then has him go through these fitness for duty evaluations,
Right.
right? And despite the, recent adult ADHD diagnosis, the evaluations find that he's still fit for duty as a police officer.
Okay, so they're saying medically he's good to go, but then.
But then, in December 2009, the city of Hillsborough fires him. And their official reason, those ongoing documented interpersonal problems.
So you've got the situation where a guy has this diagnosis, he's considered technically capable of doing the job, and yet he's fired because of how he interacts with his colleagues. And this is, I assume, what sets the stage for the whole legal battle.
Exactly. So Mr. Weaving decides to sue the city, alleging that they discriminated against him, that they fired him because of his disability, the ADHD. And this case actually goes to trial. And get this, the jury sides with Weaving. They find that, yes, he is disabled under the ADA and that the city fired him because of it.
Whoa, so that's a pretty big win for him at this point.
Oh, yeah, a big win. The jury awards him $75,000 in damages, and then the district court tacks on even more, back pay, future pay, attorney's fees. All in all, the city ends up owing him over $700,000.
Ouch. I bet that got their attention. But I'm guessing this isn't the end of the story.
You're right, it's not. The city of Hillsborough decides, nope, we're not done yet. And they appeal the decision to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
And here we are. This is the big ruling, the one we're really digging into today.
Yep, this is it. And the Ninth Circuit, well, they end up overturning the jury's verdict. They conclude that based on everything presented at trial, Mr. Weaving's ADHD actually didn't qualify as a disability under the ADA.
Okay, so this is the crux of the matter, right? Why did they come to this conclusion? What was their reasoning?
Right. So let's break it down. First, they looked at his ability to actually do the job, to work as a police officer, and they put a lot of weight on the evidence showing that he was technically competent. He'd gotten good performance reviews throughout his time at HPD, and he even got promoted to sergeant, which is pretty significant.
Yeah, that promotion does seem to suggest that his ADHD wasn't, you know, preventing him from doing what a police officer needs to do.
Exactly. And the court pointed out that the main problems he had were with, you know, his peers, other officers, and those under his command. There wasn't much evidence that his ADHD affected his ability to work with his superiors or with the public. And that distinction is important. The court was basically saying, look, he had trouble with specific people at work, but that doesn't automatically mean he can't work any job.
So even though those interpersonal problems got him fired, the court saying his basic ability to perform the tasks of a police officer, that was fine. All right, let's move on to the other big issue here. His ability to interact with others. This seems especially relevant given why he was fired.
Absolutely. This is where the Ninth Circuit makes a really key distinction. They say, okay, yeah, the record shows he had trouble getting along with coworkers. But, and this is important, they say that just having trouble getting along with coworkers, it doesn't automatically equal being substantially limited in the major life activity of interacting with others the way the ADA requires.
So they're making a distinction between, like, just not vibing with your colleagues and having a genuine, legally recognized disability in the area of social interaction.
Yeah, exactly. The court emphasized that there was no evidence he had trouble interacting with people outside of work, you know, like friends, family, people in public. The fact that he couldn't maintain good relationships with specific coworkers, that was bad, sure, but it didn't show that he was fundamentally unable to interact with people in general.
So it sounds like the court was looking for evidence that this went beyond just the workplace, that it was a bigger issue affecting his social life as a whole.
That's the key. And so they concluded that, based on the evidence, no reasonable jury could have found that his ADHD substantially limited a major life activity, whether it was working or interacting with others. So legally, he didn't meet the ADA definition of disabled, and they ruled that his termination wasn't discriminatory.
So this case seems to really narrow down what counts as a disability under the ADA, particularly when it comes to these areas of working and getting along with others. I think for you law students out there, this is a perfect example of how courts look at that substantially limits part of the ADA's definition.
Yeah, big time. Weaving really drives home the point that just because you have interpersonal problems at work, even if they might be related to, say, ADHD, that's not enough to automatically be considered disabled under the ADA. You have to show that the limitation goes beyond just those specific problems at work.
Okay, so that's the majority opinion. But we also read the dissenting opinion in this case. And I'm curious, what was the main point of disagreement there?
Right. So Judge Callahan, who wrote the dissent, she basically disagreed with the majority's whole conclusion. She argued that, actually, the jury was right to find that Weaving's ADHD substantially limited his ability to interact with others.
Interesting. What evidence did she point to specifically?
She focused on the fact that Weaving had this pattern of really serious interpersonal issues throughout his time at HPD. She pointed to the findings from that internal investigation, you know, how they described him as hostile and intimidating, and how they ultimately concluded that he created a hostile work environment. She argued that all this showed that his relationships were regularly characterized by severe problems like hostility, withdrawal, or just not communicating when he needed to.
So she was seeing these workplace issues as like evidence of a broader problem, not just isolated conflict.
Exactly. She felt that the majority was basically second guessing the jury's decision, reweighing the evidence when that wasn't their job. She thought a reasonable jury could have looked at that same evidence and said, yeah, this guy's ADHD does limit his ability to interact with people in a big way.
So two different takes on the same set of facts. Okay, so if we had to sum up the legal principle from the majority opinion in Weaving, what would it be?
You got it. The main takeaway is this. To qualify as disabled under the ADA, an individual's impairment must substantially limit one or more major life activities. Mere trouble getting along with coworkers is not sufficient to show a substantial limitation in interacting with others. Boom. That's a pretty important idea to grasp, especially if you're dealing with ADA cases.
All right, so let's get practical. What does this ruling mean going forward? What should people, both individuals and employers, really take away from the Weaving decision?
For anyone thinking about filing an ADA claim, there are some key lessons here. First off, just having a diagnosis. Even if it's something like ADHD that we know can affect behavior and social skills, it doesn't mean you're automatically covered by the ADA. You still have to prove that your condition actually limits major life activities.
So the diagnosis is a starting point, not the end of the story.
Exactly. Second, if you're claiming that you're limited in interacting with others, Weaving says you've got to show that it's a problem in lots of different settings, not just at work.
And what about from the employer's side? What's the message for them?
Well, Weaving basically reinforces their right to deal with employee conduct issues, even if those issues might be related to a medical condition. As long as the employee doesn't meet the ADA definition of disabled and the conduct problems are tied to, you know, legitimate job requirements, employers can still take action.
All right, now zooming out a bit, for all you law students listening in, why is understanding Weaving v. City of Hillsborough so important?
I think for law students, this case is a great lesson in how courts go about interpreting laws, specifically the ADA. You can really see how they take the definitions and rules from the Act, apply them to a real situation. And it also shows how tricky it can be to balance, you know, a medical diagnosis with the very specific legal requirements of the ADA. Understanding the tension is super important for anyone who wants to work in employment law or disability law.
All right, so to sum up, our deep dive into Weaving v. City of Hillsborough has shown us that the bar for proving that workplace conflicts, even those tied to a medical condition, are a disability under the ADA, that bar is pretty high.
Yeah.
Just having trouble getting along with coworkers, even if it's serious enough to get you fired, doesn't necessarily mean you're legally disabled.
Right. And it leaves us with some big questions to think about. How do we protect people with disabilities while also recognizing the realities of how workplaces function? And what kind of evidence really proves that someone's ability to interact with others is truly limited?
Yeah, those are some really important things to keep in mind. Now, if you're interested in digging even deeper, I'd recommend checking out the ADA Amendments Act, which we mentioned in some of our background materials. It shows how the legal definition of disability has changed over time.
Definitely. And it's also worth comparing the Ninth Circuit's reasoning in Weaving to decisions from other federal courts, like, you know, we mentioned Jacques V. DiMarcio, to see if there are different approaches popping up across the country.
That's a great point. Because the ADA is, well, let's just say it's constantly evolving, and cases like Weaving give us a real window into how courts are understanding it in real life. It really makes you think hard about what substantially limited in a major life activity really means, especially when it comes to your job.
Yeah, you said it. Really fascinating stuff.
That's it for this deep dive into Weaving v. City of Hillsborough. We hope you learned something. See you next time.